With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Peggy 16.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is WWE Superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, and I got some information for you. It's time to finish the story in WWE 2K24. Relive the greatest moments in WrestleMania history in the 2K showcase of the Immortals. From the golden era to today, the evolution of the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment is in your hands. With an epic roster of superstars and brand new match types, it's down to you to finish your story in WWE 2K24, available now.
I've known him a very, very long time. There have been some ups, there have been some downs. And he showed up and I was like, look, I just don't want this to be weird.
It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to a special Friday Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Thank you for tuning in to this episode 320. Yep, I'm getting the nod of approval of this, the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK, the only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed and promoted by WWE themselves. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this GP Friday special, a WWE superstar special. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, have we got some big hitter guests. Two men that ultimately, aside from perhaps the Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Rock, Seth Rollins situation across Mania weekend, these two men stole the show in Philly. Former Intercontinental Champion. Takes some getting used to saying former Intercontinental Champion. After a 666-day reign, former champ Gunther is on the show this week, along with the man who beat him, Sami Zayn. Two massive stars, and genuinely, in my opinion, whether you agree or disagree, if you disagree, you're wrong. Two of the greatest pro wrestlers on the face of the planet on GP today. Quick shout out to our headline sponsor for GP, WWE 2K24, the all-new video game, by far the best WWE video game of all time, and certainly the highest rated game in the 2K series so far. WWE 2K24, it's an instant classic, and it's instantly available. So go and check it out. The link to buy the game, whether you want the standard edition with Cody on the front, the deluxe edition with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, or the beautiful 40 years of WrestleMania special edition. All three editions are available in the link in this podcast description. So go buy it right now if you haven't done so already. It's available now on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. So I wanted to, before we run in the interviews, I wanted to mention a couple of things that I don't think, because we covered a lot of ground on Wednesday's show, Me, Mex, and Skills. It was a bloody jolly old episode, wasn't it? It was, yeah, producer Ben is nodding his head. It was so much fun. If you haven't listened to it, go back and do so. We break down all things WWE, the week that was, all the big stories, our opinions on the women's division, Becky Lynch winning that battle royal, to become the new world champion. And yeah, the latest developments with the Bloodline, this new generation of the Bloodline, which is all very, very exciting. So go back and check out Wednesday's episode for a full breakdown of everything WWE and a bit of AEW as well. We talk about that classic, Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. Talking of great matches, Trick Williams. I just wanted to do a quick mention of Trick Williams, the brand new NXT champion. He dethroned Ilya Dragunov in the main event of Spring Break in week one over on NXT. So, and which kind of leads nicely into the Gunther interview on today's episode of GP, because Gunther talks about Ilya Dragunov. So Trick Williams, during Philly weekend, I was thinking, is he going to be on the main roster by Monday? Post WrestleMania, is he gonna be at the Wells Fargo Center? He probably was there, but he wasn't on camera. He didn't appear on the main roster, but I have a sneaking suspicion former NXT champ Ilya Dragunov will be very, very soon. We saw him on the Raw after Mania. Haven't seen him since, I don't think. But I think he's about to become a mainstay and potentially lined up with Imperium, which is deeply, deeply exciting. So yeah, shout out to Trick Williams. Congratulations. Whoop that trick. Whoop that trick. He's your new NXT champion. Well-deserved and a great match. A great match. I want to open up the mailbag. Got a quick email here from Graham Raybould. Send us your emails, by the way. Hello, you at wwegp.co.uk. He says, this was sort of in response to us talking about the wildly successful WWE UK tour that happened around the UK last week. And we went to the show at the O2, which was incredible in London. But he's saying, hello, you. Hi, Graham. Love the pod. At hashtag WWE UK Birmingham, I don't know if that's the official hashtag, Graham, Cody Rhodes said that, in the words of John Cena, UK fans deserve WrestleMania. Is this the reason WrestleMania 40 didn't have the announcement for the next WrestleMania? Is that the reason why WrestleMania 41 was not announced at Mania 40 like it normally is? Hoping that's true, Graham. Well, interesting that we've had that email through, because there has been some stories in the media here in the UK about this very thing. And the story is the London mayor, Sadiq Khan, apparently lobbying to bring WrestleMania to London. So the London mayor wants to bring Mania to the city as he seeks re-election. So the election's happening on May the 2nd. So in, well, it's next week, isn't it? Yeah, next week. And he's hoping, obviously, to continue the role he's occupied since 2016, I think he was elected. So, in comments shared by My London, Khan's ambition to see London continue as a world leader in sport, in major sports events, was laid out, with the mayor saying, London is a world leader in major sports events and has been at the heart of some of the most memorable sporting moments in the last few decades. From the Olympics to the Lionesses winning at the Euros at Wembley to the Ashes at Lords and at the Oval, London is where it's at. Looking forward to the May elections, Khan went on to put his weight behind London as a host city for WrestleMania, saying, if, big if, I'm re-elected on May the 2nd, I'm determined to go even further and fully cement London's reputation as the undisputed sports capital of the world. He didn't say sports entertainment capital of the world, but the sports capital of the world. I believe that London has the potential to host the first international WrestleMania. So that's quite big, and this story is broken today. But then in contrast to that, our very own Ash Rose from GP has been writing some stories for DAZN recently, and actually only last week he wrote a story around WWE confirming WrestleMania will be staying in North America. So quite the opposite of what Sadiq Khan is lobbying for. So WWE President Nick Khan, another Khan, he was talking at the World Congress of Sports convention on Wednesday. So this was last Wednesday, I believe. And WWE President Nick Khan stated that the WWE's biggest five events, which is obviously Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and now one of the big five, Money in the Bank, will remain in North America. We sat down together a few years ago and decided, so the big five premium events should stay in the US and Canada. So that is from WWE President Nick Khan last week. And then this week, London Mayor Sadiq Khan is pushing for WrestleMania to come to London. Now, is this a big play from WWE? Because we know that they want the host city to put big money behind WWE bringing their flagship show to their city. So maybe, you know, maybe they're playing Powerball. Is Powerball the right expression?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's maybe the whole thing is a negotiation tool, but it's just going to be very interesting how this plays out. I remember speaking to someone at WWE post the John Cena comments at Money in the Bank, and they were like, I really don't think it's happening. John Cena is John Cena. He can do what he likes. He can say what he likes. He just went out there and said it, and it was unplanned. Whether that's true, I don't know, but it's getting the fans riled up. I mean, my opinion is, even if we end up with the shows like Clash of the Castle, like if Clash of the Castle becomes a mainstay, and that's, you know, one of the big international events that happens every year, like Backlash, like Elimination Chamber, but it gets brought to the UK, to a different city in the UK every year, I think that's great. And then that can be stadium shows. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I thought I'd read that out because of that email from listener Graham. So thank you for getting in touch, Graham. Anyway, I think we should probably... Oh, I wanted to go through the draft just very, very quickly. We spoke briefly about the draft on Wednesday, but after we dropped the pod, and this always happens, the news came out with the rules of the 2024 draft. So it's returning. It starts tonight on SmackDown and then continues on Monday Night Raw. So let me just... And this is from WWE.com. So let's try and get to the bottom of the draft rules this year, if indeed you care and you think it matters. Rule number one, champions on each brand will be protected and are not eligible to be drafted. As a result, Damian Priest, Becky Lynch, Awesome Truth, and Sami Zayn will remain on Raw. Cody Rhodes, Bayley, A-Town Down Under, and Logan Paul will remain on SmackDown. Is this disappointing? To me, that takes a lot of fun out of this. I don't understand why the champs are protected. Like, you want those big power moves, don't you? You want the whole, that classic that we referenced on Wednesday, John Cena moving from SmackDown after so many years over to Raw as champ at the time, I believe. What a moment that created. So the fact that the champs stay where they are, perhaps that makes the draft even more, even less interesting. Rule number two, even though their status as champions allows them to go to both brands, WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Asuka and Kairi Sane are eligible to be drafted. They will be assigned to that brand if they lose their titles. So again, does that make sense? The Women's Tag Team titles are drifters, but they are eligible to be drafted. And if they lose, they stay on that brand. Okay. Okay. Number three, Friday SmackDown will feature four rounds of draft picks being announced. Each round will consist of the brands making two picks apiece for a total of 16 picks being announced, eight for Smackers and eight for Raw. Monday will then feature six rounds. Four rounds on SmackDown, six rounds on Raw. Six rounds of draft picks being announced. Each round will consist of the brands making two picks apiece for a total of 24 picks, 12 for Raw, 12 for Smackers. SmackDown will have the first pick on Friday and Raw will have the first pick on Monday. And the rosters will go into effect officially on Monday, May 6th, which is 2 days after Backlash in France. So I just found that was quite interesting. The headline there for me is the champions are not eligible. So they will remain on their current shows. So not a whole lot changes. Like the mid-card down will change and they'll swap shows. What kind of impact that has, I don't know. I'm not convinced. But I'd like to be surprised. Let's see if the draft can hook me in this year. Under Triple H's creative regime, maybe there are big things at play, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, I'm about to play in the two major interviews for this week's show. Gunther, former IC champ, and current IC champ, Sami Zayn. Can I just say, by the way, I met Sami Zayn for the first time in 2014, I think, down at NXT, just when he arrived. So, God, that's a full decade. and sitting down with him, and it was, you know, it was a bit of a rush job. It was the last interview of the day. He had, I mean, as I think you'll probably hear half of the story at least, because we were chatting as we began rolling our audio equipment and our cameras. He was running around London getting gifts for his families and going to Hamleys and stuff. So it was a busy day, and obviously it was pre the show at the O2. So we didn't get a lot of time to sit down, but he is just an absolute delight. He is the nicest man in the world. And in those 10 years, he has not changed one bit. It's a real joy. He's just the loveliest guy. So you will hear a lot of strong opinions from Sammy when it comes to WWE creative and how things have changed, and also his connection to the crowd, which I'm really interested in. There's, you know, a kind of deep level connection he has with the audience, and so we explore that. And then with Gunther, we talk the future, basically. What comes now? And was Sami Zayn the right person to defeat him? Should it have been Chad Gable? You get Gunther's opinion right now. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy these interviews. Please let us know what you think. Your feedback is always welcome and delightfully received. Give us a follow if you don't do so already at WWEGP across all social channels. And if you want to subscribe to our newsletter to be the first to know about upcoming events, watch parties, live shows, live podcast records, all these fun things we're planning for the year, head to www.wwegp.co.uk. It takes 10 seconds to sign up, and your support is much appreciated. Right, enjoy the interviews. We'll see you Wednesday for our WWE Backlash in France preview. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We'll see you next week.
Gunther, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Gorilla Position.
Thank you very much.
How are you today?
I'm very good.
Enjoying this little tour of the UK?
I do, especially today. Canary Wharf is one of my favorite spots in London. Actually, in this hotel, we used to stay like 2 or 3 weeks at a time for NXT UK all the time. So it's always nice coming back.
Yeah, memories.
Yes.
How does it feel to be the longest reigning and, let's be clear, the greatest ever Intercontinental Champion of all time?
Yeah, very good. I earned it.
Yeah? Is that, yeah?
Yes, feels very good.
And because you had so many great five-star matches, certainly more than Honky Tonk Man, who was the man you beat,
yes,
in your reign. And you made the IC title feel as special as it has been since it was on, say, Bret Hart, for example.
Yeah.
That as a sort of true fan of this business, that must mean an awful lot to you.
Yes, I kind of like, now I can look back at it. I always said I'm going to do my resume when it's time. And looking back at it now, I'm very happy with how everything worked out. I think they gave me the freedom with it to do it my way to a certain degree, and I'm very happy it worked out, and people really found a liking in that, how I go about what I do in the ring and how I carry myself and how I carried the championship.
Do you find when you're sort of in the moment, in the middle of the reign, do you find it tough to sit back and kind of enjoy it and appreciate it for what it is?
Not like tough, like I just don't want to, because I'm still working on it, you know what I mean? I think now, looking back to WrestleMania now and the match with Sammy, I think I went out in the biggest possible way, on the biggest stage possible. And looking back now, I think it's been a very successful journey, and I can check that now and move on.
Move on and move upwards, I assume.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. So the reign itself, 666 days, yes, the kind of matches you were having, it really felt like a mission statement. Was there ever a sort of conversation with Triple H, whether it was at the start of the reign or somewhere sort of in the middle, about what this was going to be and why you were going to be the man to take the belt where it went?
No, not really. It was just week by week or match by match, and I never really got I never got told you're gonna be the one that holds it for the longest time ever. And I don't know if that initially was the plan. When I became Intercontinental Champion, it was still under Vince. It wasn't under Triple H. He came in a little bit later and took over. So that conversation never really happened. But I just think over the time and how I carried myself as NXT UK champion before, I think I'm the kind of wrestler that is really made for being a champion, if that makes sense, because I'm able to represent it well.
So you mentioned the old regime. I think you're one of the biggest kind of beneficiaries of this new Triple H era, as everyone's calling it. Do you think Gunther as Intercontinental Champion for 666 days would happen under Vince?
I don't know. But also, that was also one of the reasons often why I didn't want to, for a long time, I didn't want to go to the US, because from what the product was before Triple H was not what I enjoyed. It was not, I just didn't want to be part of that. I am who I am, and that's what I can do best. And the big part of that is I need to have my time in the ring and I need to have time to put on the matches I can put on. And that chance wouldn't just not be there under the old regime. And with Triple H, he always saw that in me, and he always, I think he always had that vision for me. And I got lucky that a lot of things in my career just fell into place at the right time, and it was a little bit of a leap of faith when I first made the move over. But yeah, everything worked out at the end.
It did.
So don't worry about it too much. No.
Yeah. Ricochet, Chad Gable, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Tommaso Ciampa, and of course Sami Zayn. So many show-stealing title matches you had. Some WrestleMania show-stealers in that run as well. But is there one match in the run that you're particularly proud of?
No, I don't. I can't single one out. Okay. I think every opponent was different, and I had to adjust for every opponent to make it the best thing possible. And that's what I'm proud of, that I was able to do that. That it was not same. There's like my format of a match, and that's just how it applies. Mm-hmm. I try to do the opposite. I try to look at my opponent and see what they bring to the table, and then maximize that.
Yeah. In your opinion, was Sami Zayn the right person to drop the belt to? And is that a decision you're sort of a part of? Because there's a lot of talk about should have been Chad Gable, for example. What's your opinion on that?
I don't think there was that one right person. I think there would have been a few options. Chad is the other one that would have been made a lot of sense. But Sami's definitely one of those guys where it was, he's the right guy to do it. He's absolutely a fantastic professional wrestler. He has that natural connection with the audience. Like, he's really that underdog, like, that people can really connect with and understand and struggle. And I think, it's just naturally the personality that he is. He doesn't look like the perfect athlete. That's not who he is or who he ever was. But I think that also adds to the people having the connection, because basically nobody in our audience is a perfect person. It's a very human thing not to be perfect. So it's very easy to connect with that and to go through those struggles with that person. And on top of that, he's, like I just said, he's fantastic in the ring, and he has been for years. And to do that match with him at the biggest stage possible and go out in the biggest way possible, I was very happy with that. I think it was a very successful ending to that reign.
Well, we were there live. It was an incredible end to the reign. So congrats on the match. Speaking of underdogs and, telling these stories, Cody Rhodes, all the focus has been on him finishing his story. Your story is only just beginning. As a fan, I'm obviously hoping you take a step up to the undisputed title territory. He's eliminated you twice, 2 years in a row in the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Do you think you'll be extracting revenge, maybe bashing Berlin, main event, you and Cody?
I don't know if it's going to happen there, obviously, but I think in the long run, I think Cody and I are kind of made to be enemies. I think it makes sense just visually already alone, and I could see that happen in the next years. We'll see what happens now. I've not been on TV since WrestleMania. The King of the Ring is around the corner. That's something I'm very interested in partaking. And then we have to see where it goes from there. I think there are many options.
And surely the winner of the King of the Ring should get to face Cody. That's how it should work. And that should be you.
That's, yeah, I agree to that. I think I should have the choice, actually.
Yeah.
If I would win it, I think I should have the choice who it is, but it makes logical sense.
Yeah. There are so many great talents who are, you know, finally getting their spots on TV and getting the spotlight they deserve. But are there any talents, is there one talent in particular you could single out who's being underused on TV right now? Who would you give more TV time to?
I think they're doing actually a good job at like putting people on TV and giving them the chance, to be honest, right now. And I gotta be fully honest, I'm not fully concerned. Like, I'm not too much concerned with all the other guys too. I'm very focused on what I do.
Yeah.
I think somebody that will do great is going forward is Ilya. I think that's somebody that is like kind of like waiting to explode right now. He just wrestled on Raw, so the draft is coming up, so let's see where that heads. But I think he would be the guy that I would single out right now that performs at a stage that he's, I would say, almost too advanced for right now. So,
which leads me seamlessly into my final question about Ilya Dragunov. Any chance of him being part of Imperium? Or, because I don't believe enough fans have seen what you and him did in NXT UK, do you think that is a match we could get, you and Ilya tearing it up on the main roster?
I think Ilya is definitely a better enemy than a friend. And yeah, it has to come down to that. Ilya is one of us in the terms of like Kaiser, Ilya and I, we all wrestled each other years back.
Yeah.
So I naturally want him to be where I am. And I think he's somebody that brings out the best in me, and I'm someone that brings out the best in him. But I think before that can happen, he has his own way to go, wherever he ends up. Mm. And then further down the line, I think it's a no-brainer that this has to happen a few times.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. Congratulations on the incredible IC title reign, and can't wait for the next stage.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. I'm a champion!
Central London, that's why I'm sweating right now, because I had to hustle back over here to get here by 4:30.
What did you say?
I went and ate at a really yummy vegan place, and then I went and I bought my wife a gift, Stella McCartney, and then I bought my kid a toy at Hamleys, some toys.
Classic.
And then I rushed over here. I could easily do days in London.
Did you buy your son Sami Zayn figurines?
I did not. Yeah. He has one though.
Good.
It's crazy. He's three. Are we on? Because I'm just rolling right into it. Do you want an intro?
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we roll straight into it. Sami Zayn, welcome to Gorilla Position.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you again. Finish your story. Talking about buying.
I was just talking about my kid is three and a half now, and it's just crazy over the last few months how aware he's gotten. So I shielded him from watching any wrestling because I just thought it'd be traumatizing. Whether I tell him or not, like, it's okay, it's entertainment or whatever, it's pretend and Baba's okay and these are his friends or whatever, I still think it's traumatic to watch your father get beat up.
Especially when you sell as well as you do.
Or, I'm wrestling Gunther or, whatever. And then I made the mistake the other day of showing him the match with Gable.
Right.
I turned it off before the turn where he turned on me post-match. But I thought, well, I'm with him. He's pretty savvy now. He understands what's going on. Pretend these are his friends, whatever. I do all that stuff to not scare him. And even then that match, he's like, why is he trying to break your leg? It's like, no, look, my leg's okay, anyways.
And why is he ripping you out of mummy's arms?
Well, no, like I said, I knew enough to not show him that part. Yeah.
Jeez. But that was the first time I've ever seen anything like that, by the way.
Yeah, I remember I was backstage once and I saw Curtis Axel's kids and they were older, like 8 or 9 at the time. And his dad was losing because he's a bad guy, it's a live event, whatever. And he was watching it at the monitor and when 1, 2, 3 was happening, he's like, no, oh, and like... He obviously knows what's up, but it still hurts to watch your dad get beat up or your dad lose. Like, no matter how, my wife is an adult.
Yeah.
And it's still
It's still real it's still to them. Hard,
yeah, it's yeah. like you've seen her performances on TV.
She's excellent.
It's because she's not performing. You know, exactly. She's genuinely concerned.
So I wanted to ask you about, you know, having your lovely wife in the spotlight. Does she enjoy being on camera? Because it's made such a kind of difference to your run recently.
Yes and no. I've been extremely private my whole career.
Yes.
And my whole life, actually. But I shielded her specifically from it because she didn't sign up for it, and B, I just don't think she's built for criticism, the kind of criticism that these monsters online sometimes hurl at us, you know, especially the women or whatever. And I just didn't want to expose her to that. And then somehow or another, she ended up kind of involved in the story when we did the match in Montreal.
I was sat right behind her for that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Incredible
yeah.
match.
Incredible, incredible. And she really did add a dimension to that.
Yes.
A whole other layer. Because it was so legitimate, and you were in the building that night, the feelings in the building were very real.
I got goosebumps thinking
about
it.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. And the disappointment, anyways, it's whatever. So then, you know, that kind of opened the floodgates a little bit. So now she's been featured once or twice more. But I'm a little apprehensive always because people have been kind towards her.
Yeah.
But I just don't want people to not be kind towards her.
Yeah, of course.
Because that would really hurt me, because I know it would really hurt her.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let me ask you some questions, because I know you haven't got much time.
I'll answer them. No, don't worry about it.
Congratulations, firstly, on your WrestleMania moment, an incredible moment. Dethroning Gunther after 666 days. Are you still kind of riding the wave of emotion from that now we're 2 weeks removed?
Yes and no, because it's been like there is such thing as too much emotion.
Yeah.
And like, you know, WrestleMania is a lot. And then there's all this buildup towards it and the expectations. So that's its own little roller coaster ride before you've even gone out. And then you do the thing. And because it's – look, maybe not every performer's like this, but because of these big stadium shows have so much hype and so much people and it's a bit – out of the norm, it's kind of hard to fully process it. Like, was it good? I think it was good. Did the emotion that I was going for, did it translate? Because it doesn't hit quite the same in stadiums versus, you know, more intimate or arenas or whatever. Anyways, it's just harder to get an accurate gauge, in my opinion. And then on top of that, then there's like the night after Mania. And then I had Montreal the next week, and that's its own little thing. So that was super cool and super emotional, and then straight onto a plane to do these UK shows, and these crowds are amazing. So it's like my adrenal glands are just like spent, you know? Like it's a lot.
We were in the stadium. That the emotion definitely came across.
Great.
Like I say, wrestling, when all the stars align, it's magic.
Yeah,
and that's what you created. That is what you created.
Thank you.
But I want to talk to you about the kind of emotional connection you have, particularly you in WWE, have with the crowds. Why do you think that is? Can you comment on why you think there is that connection between you and the fan base?
I have a couple of theories, but I don't know if any of them are right. But one, as cliche as it sounds, I work with heart.
Mm.
I wrestle with heart. And it's like, it's real heart.
Mm.
Like, I care, and they sense that.
Yeah.
I know that's maybe a simplistic or reductive kind of answer, because everybody kind of cares. Everybody cares, you know? Like, we have a roster of pretty driven people who love this.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I feel like I have an ability that I can't quite put my finger on, that just lets people in a strange sort of way. It's hard to articulate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just honest. And I think that honesty just resonates with people.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, there's some relatability and, you know, I'm pretty good at the craft itself. And I think when you kind of mix all those elements, there's just something, I don't know, it's a unique little cocktail.
I love how you say it. You're pretty good.
I think so. I mean, yeah, you know,
you're
look,
good.
I'm pretty mindful about my shortcomings too. Like I'm keenly aware. And so, you know, I was picking apart little things about a match of mine not long ago. And someone was saying like, oh, you're very critical. I'm like, no, I'm not. Trust me, when I'm good, I know I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I know the things I'm really good at, and I know, you know, when something's not good, I'm not going to be like, well, I mean, it was kind of good. No, I know. You know what I mean? There's like a keen sense of self-awareness that I think is crucial to getting higher and higher in your career, because I think if you're blocked by ego where you're just not honest with yourself, you'll never improve.
Yeah.
Or you'll never ascend to a certain level because you're like, no, come on, that was good.
Yeah.
Was it? Come on. You know?
I want to quickly ask you about the sort of creative in WWE right now. Like, just thinking about you and your incredible match with Gunther, that Rocky III, you know, type story that went into that, your entrance in Montreal last Monday, which was so special.
Yeah.
Do you feel in this Paul Levesque era, as people are calling it, that it's a more collaborative, freer space for the talents to be involved in ideas and putting things together? Because that's how it feels as a fan watching.
Yeah. In some respects, 100%. In some respects, he's still the boss at the end of the day. But when it comes to how you do whatever you're going to do, there's definitely a lot more freedom. And look, Vince definitely had his way about things, and it was successful. Like, people can turn around in hindsight and point the finger and say this and that. But as far as his creative, you know, ups and downs, but there was a reason for his formula. And boxes, like, we were working in a box. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But those boxes get built because of success. You know what I mean? Like, things work, so you keep the things that work, and the things that don't work kind of get discarded, which is great. But then what happens is you paint yourself into a box. But now you have a new visionary, so that box gets opened up a bit. But I think over a long enough timeline, we have to be very conscious of what we're doing to not just be in a new box. You know what I mean? Or maybe a slightly bigger box. Because there's a million ways to do things. But what I'm saying is those things exist because there was success behind them. All this to say, for sure, under Triple H, there's no question that in the week-to-week stuff and how you execute, there is far more freedom as a performer. And I think you're asking me that, so you sense it, and I think the fans definitely sense it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Finally, very quickly, last question. I spoke to KO at Mania weekend. He was talking about Punk. He was saying how he doesn't really care for Punk returning, doesn't really care about him as a human. I wanted to get your opinion on that and how you found CM Punk since he's returned to the company.
I don't know. Like, I've known him a very, very long time. There have been some ups. There have been some downs. And he showed up, and I was like, look, I just don't want this to be weird. So, like, what, you know, say whatever you need to say. Say your piece. I said my piece. And, like, clean slate. That's it.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, you just can't walk around harboring resentment. Because I saw, like, I just don't want him to walk by and be like a black cloud. Like, I work here. You know what I mean? So if there's anything, or vice versa, I don't want him to see me and go like, hey, whatever happened, you know, cards on the table, let's just clean slate. Good. Okay. You know, and that's it. Just that's how I approach, I guess, not just him, but life. Just like, it's exhausting. I've found in my experience, it's kind of exhausting to hate people.
Yeah, you don't want to be carrying that around. You don't want
like,
to be
the only person who's mad is you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, that person. Like that, he's just walking around, but you're the one all of a sudden under a cloud of negativity. So I just don't want that cloud. So like, has there been some weird stuff between us in the past? Sure. I think 90% of people you ask about Punk would probably say the same. But as far as I'm concerned, hey, we got to work together. You're here. You've been through a lot in your life. Let's just clean slate, start over, and, you know, whatever. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, Sami Zayn, I know you got other commitments, but lovely to see you.
Thank you, man.
Great to see you.
Story of my life.
Gorilla position. I'm a champ.